Hey man, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today, and I'd like to thank everybody for coming out because you could have went somewhere else tonight, but you chose to honor God and honor our friends at the home group meeting. And so anytime we honor God, God will honor you. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Anytime you honor God, God will honor you.
Amen.
And, so we thank you for coming out. Amen. So I'd like to go ahead and continue talking on spiritual discernment. And I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. The greatest need in the body of Christ is not more of salvation, because Christ has done it all. He said it's finished. We don't need more salvation. We don't even need more Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is alive and well in our life, and you know, there's not any more to the Holy Spirit, you know. What we need is spiritual discernment to know the difference between right and wrong, and between holy and unholy, and godly and ungodly, and righteous and unrighteous. And so this will be the second part of the critical need for spiritual discernment. And tonight we're going to look at judging versus discernment. But as we go ahead and we'll look at a couple points that we looked at last time we were here, and to get our heart and our spirit moving in the right direction there. And so the first point was the definition of spiritual discernment is to see as God sees. Amen? Mm-hmm. The definition of spiritual discernment is to see as God sees. That's God's goal for our life, is to see as God sees.
Amen.
The Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is not Christ's mind. When it says we're have the mind of Christ, that word mind is attitude. We're supposed to have the same attitude that Jesus had about his Father.
Amen.
So when we put on the mind of Christ, then we have that same attitude that Jesus had about his Father. Jesus never did anything unless the Father told him to do that.
Right.
Jesus says, of me I have no power except for what the Father gives me. Wow, you know. When you see me, you see the Father. And so when we move in spiritual discernment, not in judging, and we're talking about judging a little bit, but when we move in spiritual discernment, we'll be able to see as God sees. Amen?
Yeah.
The second point from last time was spiritual discernment is the result, as Karen said, of knowing Jesus Christ. Wow. Christ is truth, and if you know Christ, then you will know truth. Wow. So if you don't know Christ, you cannot have any spiritual discernment. There will be no spiritual discernment moving there. Point number three was spiritual discernment does not work independent of Christ. For a believer, nothing works in God independent of Christ. For a believer, everything in your life, I don't care what it is, everything in your life is dependent on Christ.
Amen.
Everything. Wow. I mean, that's the truth that so many Christians don't know. But anyways, point number four. If things do work independent of Christ, then it is error.
Exactly.
It is error. Anything that is not dependent on Christ is error. Amen. It is a misrepresentation of Christ himself. It's a misrepresentation of Christ himself. Point number five. Spiritual discernment is more than coming to a conclusion. Spiritual discernment means I am able to sense whether something belongs to Christ. Spiritual discernment, something belongs to Christ or does not. So when we walk up, I can walk up to some people, spiritually discern them. Not judge them, but spiritually discern them that they are not of Christ by the way that they look, the way that they talk, the way that they act. You know, and that's not judging them, but I can spiritually discern the Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness one to the other. So if I walk up to a Christian, and I've done this before, I can feel the Spirit of God in them. And the same thing. So if you walk up to somebody and you don't feel the Spirit of God in them, guess what? There's another spirit in them. And if it's not of God, well,
sometimes
then they can only be demonic.
Sometimes you can feel that too.
Yeah. It is based on Christ, whether it fits into him or not. Point number six, the trend in churches today is all about the compromise of truth for the sake of unity and harmony.
Amen.
Wow, yeah. This is Antichrist. No,
right.
Not the Antichrist, but this is Antichrist. And of course, as we saw last time, Antichrist is another Christ. The word Antichrist means another Christ, not against Christ. Anti means against, but here Antichrist is another Christ. It's a different representation. It's not of Christ. Wow. It's another gospel. It's a false message instead of Christ. Spiritual discernment, we will, if we do not have spiritual discernment, we will be deceived, and I promise you, you will fall out of the way. Spiritual discernment is what God gives us, that spiritual ability to be able to recognize things in God. And if you do not have spiritual discernment, well, you know, then anything goes. Anything goes. But God gives us the Holy Spirit, which is a part of that spiritual discernment, to where know what is godly and what is ungodly, what is righteous and what is unrighteous, what is holy and what is unholy. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go ahead and get into tonight's teaching, and we're going to be looking at judging versus discernment. And you have the notes there, and so you can follow along. You have everything but my marginal notes. Amen? Okay, amen. The church is to impact the world, but the world has been impacted, has been impacting the church for generations. And that'd be a good place to say amen.
Amen.
And if you go into church any time in your life, you can see how the church is now being impacted by the world. Lord have mercy. The seeker-sensitive movement is moving into the church, and sadly to say, it's moving into Romania.
Yes, bad.
Last time I was there, I just could not believe how the, you know, the seeker-sensitive movement is just moving into all of these churches, and it's just a show. It's a nice show. It's lights and it's flashy stuff and stuff, but it's not of God. Amen. This is by design, though. This is by design, designed by the world. And this is so because of their lack of spiritual discernment. Because of the lack of spiritual discernment in these churches, they do not have the ability to know the difference between godly and ungodly. And they can't even judge righteous judgment. So we are supposed to judge, as we saw last week. We're supposed to judge, but take heed how we judge, right? We're not supposed to get over in passing judgment. There's a difference between judging and passing judgment. We're supposed to judge. We're supposed to say, whoa, wait a minute. That situation is not of God, and I'm going to separate myself from that.
Amen.
But if we do not have spiritual discernment, we will not have the ability to separate ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
We live in a day and age where right and wrong no longer has any meaning, or at least the goal is to try to make them to have no meaning. Instead of absolute truth, we are being told that there is only relative truth, and that truth is whatever you think it is, or truth is what you believe. Wow, is some people's mind. The answer is that you really cannot know the truth. Is that true? Yes, you can know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
Free indeed.
And the truth is Jesus Christ. We can know the truth because Jesus is the truth. Wow. Even some professing Christians say this. In effect, what we are seeing in a world that more and more intends to do what is right in their own eyes. In their own eyes. Who has number one?
Me. Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness.
Wow. Wow. Now, a lot of people would say, that's this generation. And last generation would say, that's this generation. And even in the Bible, they're saying, well, that is this generation. Well, I would say in every generation, there are people that... Read that again, sweetheart.
There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes.
That are pure in their own eyes.
And yet is not washed from their filthiness.
Yeah. Pure in their own eyes. What they want to do, they do it. You know, whatever feels good, do it. And so they're pure in their own eyes. But that's not what the Bible says. Not what the Bible says. This is so because of their lack of spiritual discernment. Amen?
Yeah.
Wow. Because their lack of spiritual discernment. and the ability to judge righteous judgment. As a logical outcome of this nonsense, people are being told that they should not judge. If I say that Robert Shula is a heretic, some are offended because we are not supposed to judge. But read the New Testament.
Right.
Did Paul name names? Yes. Is it certainly possible to become a person who has appointed himself a judge of everyone else and set someone up as the superior person? Well, yeah, there are many discernment ministries out there. And you can check them out on the internet, and you gotta just be careful with those. But there's all kind of ministries out there, and they're out there doing that. But according to the Bible, we are not only to preach the truth, but we must also preach what the truth is not. The opposite of truth. We must say what is wrong and what is right. Read the epistles. Every one of them was written to combat error. Paul was talking to all of the churches at Ephesus and Corinth and all of the, where the epistles, you know, in Galatia, because of problems in the church, because of error in the church, because of a misrepresentation of the truth, a misrepresentation of the gospel, and that's always a misrepresentation of Christ. Wow. Every one of them was written to combat error, as I said. One way or another, they all come back to that. In the end, you cannot really preach the truth unless you expose error. For us to be saved, we must see the error in our life. We must see the error in our heart.
That's right.
If not, then we will just continue on in our happy, you know, go-lucky way. Your message won't be clear otherwise, and because many are looking for the affirmation of their error, they will otherwise try to make what you say agree with them. Too many, or, you know, to know truth, you must also know error. To know truth, you must also know error. Sin is not the act. Let me say that again. Sin is not the act. The taking of a life is not sin to God. God said, don't kill, and we kill. Don't steal, and we steal. Sin is to know right, but do wrong. That is sin, to miss the mark. So it's not the act that is sin in God's eyes. It's doing that which God told us not to do. So for us to know the truth, we have to know the error. We have to know that what we do is wrong. And once we know what we do is wrong, then the opposite of that then is the truth. Wow. Wow. Who has verse number, who has Hebrews 4 and 12?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen. Wow. The word of God is quick and sharp as any two-edged sword. Two ways. Truth cuts us coming, and it cuts us going. And that is that same thing of truth. To know truth, you got to know error. And to know error, then you're going to be able to understand the truth. And it's a discerner. It's spiritually discerned. Truth is spiritually discerned because Christ is the truth. And we can only worship Him in spirit
and
in truth. So if you don't worship Him in spirit and truth, I don't care what church you go to, I don't care what you do with the church, I don't care how long you sing in the choir, and I don't care how long you roll on the floor or do whatever, if you're not worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, then you're just not worshiping Him in spirit and truth. People like Robert Shula and Joel Osteen and many others on TV today are leading millions astray. They have always rejected all counsel and appeal. I know this because they themselves has bragged about doing so, and you know, they just ridicule their critics. It is far beyond that point, though. Thus, in accordance with Matthew 18 and other teachings of the Bible, they ought to be named before all. Now, I'm not so naive enough to think that, you know, that this will do any good. But that was never a criteria given by Christ for doing it. Mm-hmm. We are to name them in order to separate light from darkness. Let me say that again. we are to name names and in order so that we can separate light from darkness and in order to protect the body of Christ. Remember, spiritual discernment, we see as God sees so that we can protect ourselves and others. So when we see what is not right, what is ungodly, what is unholy, then we could go, hey, brother, sister, this is not right, and we need to, well, I'm going to separate myself, and I would recommend that you do that also, amen?
Amen.
Spiritual discernment helps us separate light from darkness. Wow. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the light, the Christ, we see the light, and that helps us separate light from darkness. Thus, it will, you know, it will help us, amen?
Amen.
You know, when people say something, they mean it. Very few people say things and don't mean it. When most people say something, they mean it. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to let people say what they mean and then believe what they say, right? If they say it, then they mean it, right? So, you know, people, they say what they believe. And so, you know, believe then what they say. Believe the people what they're saying. That's what they believe. And not try to, you know, sugarcoat it and turn your head. Well, now, they really don't mean that. If someone says something, praise God, I believe you, and I'm moving on, you know. Amen. I say that someone's conduct or teaching is right or wrong. Suppose they say that is judging. I submit that such a charge is in itself hypothetical. Why? Because they are saying it is wrong to say something is wrong. And by doing so, they are saying something is wrong. So they are now judging me. They are violating the very principle that they demand. Now remember, we're talking about judging versus discernment. That we never judge anything. The point is, once you condemn someone for judging, you are judging.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
It ought to be obvious that there is something flawed in this kind of reasoning that eliminates all moral reasoning from our thinking. It just doesn't work, but creates a moral and logical circle that cannot be resolved. Judging, even righteous judgment, is what we are to do. But take heed to yourself and not get over into passing judgment. When I was in the Navy, I was a very senior officer. I was a commander. And I had thousands and thousands and thousands of people work for me. And when I spoke, they jumped. And if they jumped, and they didn't jump, the next time I spoke, they jumped. I had the authority. You cannot pass judgment on somebody unless you are in authority over them. That's why the police that God puts in authority has the authority to judge us. That's why a judge is given that authority. We can never ever judge a situation in someone's life and then pass judgment, right? You have to be authorized to be able to pass judgment on somebody. And so often in the church, people, they judge this and they judge that, and not spiritual discernment. They're judging this and they're judging that, and the next thing you know, they pass judgment. Well, they are over in that sin of passing judgment that Jesus talked about not to do. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to judge someone or some situation, you're probably not ready to judge. I found that out. If you're ready, I'm ready to judge, and I want to judge, and I want to do this. If you want to do all of those things, then you're probably not ready to do those things. You do not have the maturity, you do not have the ability, even in God, to be able to do those things that you want to do. It's better not to do those things, but realize that since you are in authority, then you have to do those things. If your heart is wrong, then it's better that you're not do that because you're not ready to judge. The fact is, once you eliminate morals from our thinking, you eliminate all sanity. And that's what you see today, and that's what Proverbs is talking about. We go ahead and we just you know, we just get rid of the morals. Oh, I think I skipped. Yes, and we will pick that up. Amen. Okay. So, so that's sanity. Once you eliminate the possibility of truth from our thinking and reasoning, you create a moral vacuum. In fact, it really isn't possible to eliminate morality. No, no. Truth or right and wrong from a person's thinking. The reason you can't eliminate these things is that we are moral creatures. Let me say that again. God has made us. We are moral creatures. Wow. We have a built-in morality nature. That's the way God has hardwired us. And even this has been twisted through sin, morality is woven into the fabric of what we are as human beings. God made us this way, moral creatures. Wow. It's who we are. And if you examine yourself, you will see that it is true. Value judgment constantly. You do that even if your judgment is nothing more than about how you feel, what you think, or whether it's a nice day outside. How much more do we do this in relationship? The moment we don't like someone, even if we don't say it, or maybe if, you know, if we just feel that way, we are making a judgment of them according to how they affect us. You cannot escape this. This is how you function. Right or wrong. Wow. That's the way God has made us. We all judge. Even if you go to the, you know, to the supermarket and you pick up a cucumber and you go, I don't like this one. Oh, I like this one. Oh, this one, you know. And we make judgments because we're created that way. But when it comes to people, when it comes to relationship, there is a difference. Most often we judge people and situations out from our heart. Let me say that again. Most often, we find this in the church often, we judge people and situations out of our own heart. We judge them according to our heart. Wow. I'll let that sink in for a second. Amen. We judge them out of our heart. Who has number four? Titus 1:15. Jonathan.
Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled.
Wow. Conscience is defiled. So when we get angry, when we look at someone and we make that moral judgment about them, we are judging them, if we're not spiritually discerning them, we are judging them out of our own heart. And if our heart has not been dealt with by God, if our heart is hard and stony and hard-hearted, well, if we don't like that person, then we're making that judgment of that person, not according to God, but we're making that spiritually discernment, we're making that of God, see as God sees. But when we judge out of our own heart, then that's coming out of our own heart. And to the pure at heart, all things are pure. There's nothing will defile us. If you have a pure heart, then nothing will defile you. You know, Jesus said, on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. That's why it's so important to allow God to work in our life and purify. We used to sing a song in the church called Purify Me. Purify Me, O Lord. It was a tremendous song, and it's true. To the pure in heart, all things are pure.
Amen.
And if we have that pure heart, then God will be able to, to work in that. But take heed in our judging. Take heed that our heart is that of God. Take heed to our motives and to our plans and all of that stuff. All those things in us that we want to do, even for God, we have to make sure that they are pure, coming out of our heart. They are of a pure heart, and then they are of God. So many people make decisions in churches about church situations and people and stuff like that, and they judge them out of their own heart, and it's not of God. Whew. Amen. You and I are constantly making choices as to what to say, what to think, and how to act. We may not make those choices with a moral yardstick next to them or even give them such a thought. But most everything we think and we say and we do is based on our inward sense, on our heart, our inward senses, or upon our inward desires to do right and wrong. This is why we are to be strengthened with might in the inward man.
Right.
Wow. Not the outward man. The outward man will perish. I mean, I just turned 70 and I'm perishing. I'm perishing. Man, it's kind of like, Miss Betty, you know what I'm talking about, you know? The older you get, the more you fall into the ground and die. We as grass, we're going to wither away, you know?
Just look in the mirror, brother.
But God knows our frame, you know?
Amen.
Wow. That's not what we're to be strengthened. We're to be strengthened with might in the inward man. Where the real work of God happens in us. Amen? Who has number 5? Who has Romans 7:22?
I got it.
Thank you.
For in my inner being I delight in God's law. I'm 23. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me.
Boy, I tell you, if you really want to understand the Bible, if you can understand Romans 6, 7, and 8, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can understand Romans 6, 7, and 8, you got it. And chapter 7 is where Paul was saying, now wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I've been walking with the Lord. I've been preaching and teaching, but I see in myself. I see things that I do that I don't want to do. And I see the things that I, you know, that I want to do that I don't do. Wow. Wow. Who has 2 Corinthians 4 and 6? Sweetheart.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
The inward man. Oh, that may be strengthened with might in the inward man. Yes. It is the inward man is where we need to be strengthened by God.
Yes.
It is the inward man and the spiritual man where we go ahead and we spiritually discern those things. And if our heart is pure, then nothing will defile us. Wow. Human beings were created with a moral fabric, and this functions whether we care about God or not. In that case, it will not function according to truth, but it will function. People may try to deny absolute truth or right and wrong, but they know better. They will react the moment someone does wrong to them. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You can bet the second someone does you wrong, who do you think you are? Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. Now, that'd be another great place to say, oh me. Amen?
Amen.
They do make moral judgments all the time. And as I mentioned earlier, even if I deny the existence of right and wrong, I am making a moral judgment in doing that. I am saying that right to say that there is no such thing as right and wrong. This is contradictory and hypocritical. And frankly, it is so obvious so that God holds us for proclaiming such a lie. The fact is there is no escape from right and wrong.
Right.
And the reason is not only because we are made moral in nature, but more so often, now pay attention here, we are created totally accountable to God. Let me say that again. We are created totally accountable to God. Accountable to God and a knowledge that is built into us. Every person alive, I don't care when they live and where they live, God has built with them an accountability to God. That's why Romans 1, I think it's the 20, says, even if you have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, when you stand before God, and everybody will stand before God, they will have no excuse.
That's right.
No excuse. No person alive that's ever lived on the earth will have any excuse, even if they've never heard of the name of Jesus. Accountability to God is a knowledge that is built into us. The fact that many neglect it, deny it, and push it away to the destruction of their conscience doesn't change anything. In fact, the necessity of dealing with it by pushing it away proves that morality is in us. Because we are totally accountable to God, we are also totally accountable to truth. You can't get away from truth, because Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
And Jesus was accountable to God.
Right.
I only do the things that my Father tells me to do. Wow. We are accountable to God. Every person, we're accountable to the truth. You and I have never been given the right to decide truth. Amen?
Amen.
You and I have never been given the right to determine for ourselves right and wrong. Am I right? That's right. In fact, you and I have been told that we are forbidden to do these things. Rather, we have been told that we are accountable to God. And if we want to live, we need to turn to Him. Wow. Last point. At the end of our days, we all individually will stand before God. The sinner will stand at the great white throne judgment. You know, and the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. And even for the Christians will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what the Christian's going to be doing? He's going to be on his knee, bowing before the Lord. You know, I heard these people, well, I'm going to stand and I'm going to plead my case to God.
What case?
No, you're not.
It's under the blood, praise God.
You're going down, my friend.
Amen.
Sinner and saint alike. Everybody.
Right.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess.
Wow. Jesus Christ is
we stand
Lord.
Before. We stand before God and give an account of our time in this earth.
Amen.
We all, sinners and saints, are accountable to God. Spiritual discernment is what God gives us. Let me say this again. Spiritual discernment is what God gives us through the Holy Spirit to know truth from error. Most people get deceived and they don't know the truth because they're believing the error. Remember, if you know error, then you got to know the truth. And if you know the truth, then you got to see the error. Because this is the truth. And anything that's not the truth is error.
Right.
Wow. That is a tremendous statement right there.
Amen.
Wow. Many people get deceived because they don't know the truth.
Right.
And they are deceived. And they're deceived. And then they fall out of the way. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your mercies, Father. Lord, thank you for this teaching, Father, Lord. Help us never to be deceived, Father, Lord. Help us to see you high and lifted up, Father. Lord, and we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. So many critical things here, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for this time of sharing the word, Father, Lord. And we just love you, Father, Lord. Just bless everybody that came out today, Father, Lord God. And as they leave, Father, Lord God, hasten their steps home, Father, Lord God. And Lord, let them say when they leave, wasn't it good to be together with my brothers and my sisters, Father? And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.